Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, one of the things that we have here in Advent is some very important things that we look at. First of all, I wish Betty O'Brien could be with us today. One of the things about Betty, for those of you who have been here before, her best thing was saying, "I choose joy." And if you notice, that's what the name of my sermon is today. I choose joy. No matter what happens, I choose joy. Which means, no matter what happens, we rejoice. As we talk, let's look at a few things, and then we're going to go back to that statement, "I choose joy," at the end. As we have done this for the last 3 weeks, our first week was on Advent and on the word hope. Okay? And remember, Advent comes from the Latin word adventus. Where do we see that in English? Adventure. Okay? It means something that is coming that is a good or bad. Good. It's not something that's scary. And during the 4th and 5th centuries, that's the 300s and 400s, this time of year is when new Christians were baptized. Of course, it happened around Easter time, too. But it's one of those things, because we are entering into that adventure, baptism is a time where we come into the family of God and we come in to that adventure. Over time, we started with the season of Advent to welcome the second coming of Christ. Because as we talked in here, you know, we only spend 4 weeks a year on that second coming, which is so important. I mean, it's the reason we're here, isn't it? I mean, yeah, Christmas, Easter, all that stuff is important. But we're here to get ready for when Christ returns. You know, and that's really what our faith is. Well, we take those 4 weeks and we celebrate the four ideas of hope, peace, love, and joy. And today is joy. In the early church, this actually was called Gaudent Sunday. And it's the only time of the year where the priest or the pastor would wear pink vestments. No, he's not sweet. Okay? It's the time of year that we do that. And for some reason, this is the Sunday of joy. And the color for it is pink. And if you look at our Advent wreath, we have a pink candle, don't we? And that's why. It's something special. Now, remember when we had the word hope that we looked at? Was hope the regular English pronunciation and meaning? No. Because hope is something we anticipate there may or may not come to pass, correct? Hope in the Bible means something that is assured to come to pass. We don't normally look at hope that way, do we? But in the Bible, it does. All right, so when we look at joy, what is joy? Well, if you had to define it, okay? You're talking to kids. We have kids here. How would you explain joy to kids? Happy, happy. Okay, what else? Oh, come on. You all, especially been parents, had to do that somewhere along the line. Giggles. Hey, that one's pretty good. I like that one. Jesus. Oh, so there's joy in Jesus? Guess what the biblical meaning of joy is? A feeling of good pleasure. I'm going to read this one. Good pleasure and happiness that is dependent on who Jesus is rather than on who we are or what is happening around us. Ooh, you get the gold star today. You've done good. Okay? But the thing is, how often do we think of joy in that way? It's just like hope being an assurance. Joy is Jesus. Jesus is joy. And when we start looking at things like that, I find those meanings are interesting because, as I said earlier today, those meanings are right there in the Bible in front of us all the time, aren't they? Well, so if our joy is an experience that is biblically centered on Christ and our relationship to Him, Why do we look at joy in that matter? Well, there's a good question, isn't it? Well, let's look at our first hymn today, what is a great Advent hymn. In fact, our last hymn today is O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. Excuse me. Hark the Herald Angels Sing. It's an Advent hymn. Why? Because we're looking at the anticipated coming of the Savior. Right? So anytime we do that, we're in the season of Advent. We are anticipating with hope and joy the coming Savior. All right, but let's take a look at that first hymn, O Come, Emmanuel. Do names have power? Do words have power? John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All right, so when we look at that, does that mean then that words have power? Jesus is the Word made flesh. So it does. All right, so we have that word, Emmanuel. What does Emmanuel mean? God with us. I already let that out because of the kids. Emmanuel. Well, in Hebrew, and we're going to talk a lot about Hebrew today, is the fact that the word El is God. Beth El, synagogue. Beth, good, El, God, good God. Okay, so when we see things like that, it's really important because God is important, isn't he? All right, but there's also some things we're going to talk about today with meanings. All right, Jesus. Anybody know what Jesus means in Hebrew? All right, Jesus, God saves is what it means. Okay, but where's the word El in that? It's not there, is it? But yet it means God saves. All right, let's look at that. In Hebrew, the word Jesus is Yeshua or Yeshua. Now, it's Elohim, but yeah, there's, yeah. But the actual name is Yeshua. Do we have other Yeshuas in the Bible? Joshua. And that's what the name Joshua means, is an Englishized version of Jesus. How many of you knew that? So when you name somebody Joshua, you're actually naming them Jesus. Okay, well, let's look at that word Jesus. Okay, the actual translation from Hebrew means you are saved by the highest. Glory to God in the highest and to men. Okay? Saved by the highest. Okay, now, other names. Moses. Moshe in Hebrew. Anybody know what that means? Every name in the Bible has got a meaning that is important, especially to the story. It means to draw from the water, to draw out from the water. So Moses is drawn out. Now let's look at this for a second. I'm thinking about this. Okay, so as we look at this, all right, Moses means to draw out of the water, okay? Moses, when he got to Canaan, sent who into Canaan to check things out? Joshua. Okay, you with me? That's why we're talking about this today. All right, so what does Moses mean to draw out? He sent God saves to Canaan to draw out if it was time to go into the promised land. Now, one of the things that I was talking about today is when you start looking at all of this, especially the names, those names are right in front of you all the time. We've used those names, but we don't even understand what we're saying when we use those names. It's right there in front of you, but yet we haven't learned that, have we? And that's sad, because that means that some pastor in the past hasn't let you in on the quote-unquote secret. But there's no secret. Okay, so Emmanuel, El is God, Iman. In the words of, or in the Islamic religion, we have the person who's like a pastor is an Iman. All right? Iman means one who brings us the word. All right, so Emmanuel, one who brings us God. God with us. So not only is he bringing God, he's bringing the word. He is the word. He is bringing salvation. And that's all in the names of these people. Well, so let's put all of this together. Emmanuel, God is with us. Joy, the feeling of good pleasure and happiness that is dependent upon Jesus. Jesus, God saves. Huh, interesting. Now, all of this comes from Hebrew, which is the language of Judaism. Well, now, wait a second. I thought that we damn Jews because they don't believe in Jesus. I told you it was going to be in there. Okay. Pastor Nan and I talked last night. You know, one of those things, do we damn the Jews? No. But why not? Because John 14, you know, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. But yet, the book of Revelation tells us at the end that there's 144,000, which means there's a big number. Nobody knows. You got to remember, in Hebrew, there's no big numbers. They don't have a word for a million. They don't have a word for anything, trillion, billion, anything like that. They just have a lot of people. So anytime you see the word 144,000, which is 12-12, we've talked about numerology in here, 12-12, when we look at that, it means there's a whole heck of a lot of them. Okay? So, there's a whole heck of a lot of Jews that are going to come to Christ on the last day. Right? Well, if there's no Jews left, how are they going to fulfill the Bible and come to Christ on that last day? See what I'm getting at? And, aren't the Jews God's chosen people? All right. Well, let's see. I brought Jesus, so I'm going to kick all of you out. You think God does that? No. They're still the chosen people. I was very blessed, and I've shared this with you, when I sang in that choir at Beth Israel Synagogue in Omaha. And Rabbi Krupski, bless his heart, he's dead now, was a great New Testament scholar. And there were 10 Christians that are in this choir. So we're sitting there. We got our yarmulkes on. You know, we're learning to speak Hebrew and all this other stuff. I mean, it was $10 for a service and a free meal on Friday night. When you're in a college, that's a pretty good deal. But he would turn around and say, all right, now, Matthew 19 says this. But we don't believe that. But in the Jewish religion, Jesus is a prophet. He's a Jewish boy that did well. What is the rule to be a prophet? You are never wrong. Is Jesus never wrong? Because if you're wrong, you're not a prophet. With me? Okay, it is. And so when I look at all of this stuff, all of this is there in front of us all the time. And when you start putting it together, doesn't it make sense? You know, and that's the thing. That's what is so beautiful about all of this. All right. Now, the other thing is, let's talk about the names for Jesus, the Messiah, okay, and the Christ. We always say Jesus Christ. Well, Jesus' first name, Christ, is his last name, isn't it? No, it doesn't work that way. Christ is a title. In Greek, it means the anointed one. Messiah in Hebrew means the anointed one. It's two words for the same thing. One in Hebrew, one in Greek. So Jesus is the anointed Savior of mankind. Jesus means God saves, the anointed Savior of God. All of a sudden, it starts making sense, doesn't it? And as I look at this, you know, it's so important. You know, folks, I know none of you have studied biblical Hebrew. And even though Pastor Don, Pastor Sarah, and I have all studied it, doesn't mean we use it every day. That's right, I had to cheat and look up everything too, so don't feel bad. But part of the thing is that we become aware of how people think. Remember, I've told you in Hebrew is not a linear language. It's a circular language. Well, wow. So, like in Greek, you know, A to B to C, it's linear. Okay? In Hebrew, who knows where it's going to go? Around and round we go, and where it stops, nobody knows. I find that interesting. How can somebody actually think that way? But they do. Okay. Where is all this leading? Right here today. We have two sacraments that are important, don't we? Okay, the Roman Catholic Church has seven. But yet the Bible, Paul talks about the two. What are they? Baptism, Lord's Supper. Okay, why are they so important? Jesus, God saves, the anointed Savior of mankind, the salvation that comes to us right here. Pastor Don and I have talked about this. Do we actually need confession and absolution when we have communion? Good, I agree. Out of the mouth of babes. No, we don't. Why? Because there is salvation. In baptism, there is salvation. But why do we do it? Well, we want to make sure. You know, that state of grace can be fleeting. I was watching a thing of all things on YouTube last night. Guy was talking about the differences between the Roman Catholics, the Eastern Catholics, the Lutherans, the Anglicans, you know, and how close we are, but yet some of the things we differ on. But one of the things that we all agree on is the salvation of the Lord's Supper. Now, we don't all agree on salvation of baptism, which is sad. You know, I mean, especially when you look at Matthew 28:19, go ye therefore baptize all nations, or make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Okay? If we are commanded to do that by Jesus, is there a reason for it? Not only obedience, but he's trying to tell us that that is where our salvation comes. But without Jesus, is there salvation? No, not at all. All right, well, I think we've talked about a lot of this, and I think you got the idea. Before we end today, you know, usually I end my sermons like this. May this joy that comes to you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ keep your hearts and minds on him, right? Philippians 4. That's not the only thing in Philippians 4 that's important. And I'm going to close with what that other important verse is today. Our message was, I choose joy. In everything we do, we rejoice. And so we rejoice in the salvation of Jesus Christ that is the joy of Jesus. Because joy is centered in Jesus that comes to us from that cross. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. This is Philippians 4. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, I thought about putting brothers and sisters in there, but in the original Greek, it's just brothers. That doesn't mean that you're not included. Okay? Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely. Ooh, I like that one. How many times have we prayed for loveliness in church? Not too often, have we? Whatever is commendable. If there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Emmanuel, God with us. And the people of God respond with, Amen. To God be the glory. Amen.